Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff's message will rock your world.
You know, it's said in the book of Acts concerning the disciples, these men have upset the world. They've turned the world upside down. They've rocked the world for this person named Jesus, who was of Nazareth, who is called the Christ. Now, if you think about that, pretty amazing, from a group of guys who were scared to death, who were behind locked doors, who thought they might be killed. Now, all of a sudden, they're out, they're speaking boldly, shaking the world for Christ. They didn't have a building. They didn't really have any money to speak of. It's amazing what they did. I believe as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ, that the Lord wants to use His people to shake this world for Christ. How can you and I see God shake the world? How can we be involved in rocking the world for Jesus Christ?
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we want to thank you for joining us today as we begin a new series that will last the rest of this month called Rock Your World. Listen, if God really does want to rock your and my world and our world in a good way, then what's He waiting for? He could snap His fingers and poof, done. Everything would be great. Well, as we'll learn today, if we want to experience God like never before, we need to use the power of prayer. If you think you've heard it all regarding prayer, today you'll likely be surprised to discover a power you have that you never fully realized. Now, as always, if you can't be with us for the entire broadcast, you can listen again online anytime at fromhisheart.org, and there you can click the radio tab. Today's lesson, Rock Your World, Part 1, and it's from the series also called Rock Your World. Turn in your Bible to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts as Pastor Jeff begins to tell us how God wants to rock your world and unleash the power of prayer.
I was thinking about the early church. You know, when you read through the Gospels, you'll find that there was great excitement when Jesus was at the height of His ministry, when He was preaching and teaching and healing and just tons of miracles, and the people would follow Him, and they'd come out and they'd stay all day, and at the end of the day He'd have to shoo them away. And Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the 12 disciples were so excited. And then things didn't take place the way they thought they should take place. Obviously, Judas Iscariot didn't like the way things were going. He betrayed Jesus. They see they wanted Jesus, Judas especially, Simon Zelotes, who was a zealot. And they thought Jesus was going to be the king and take over and dethrone Rome. And Israel was going to be the power once again, and God's Messiah was here. But what they missed was the fact that the Bible speaks of the two comings of Jesus, the first coming as a humble servant who died for the sins of the people, the second coming as the reigning king. And so they got that confused. And when things didn't go quite the way they thought, especially in Judas's mind, he turned on Jesus, he betrayed Jesus. And when Jesus was arrested, the guys scattered. And then when Jesus was being tried, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus because he was scared. Well, after they nailed Jesus to the cross, the disciples got together behind locked doors. They were very afraid of the Jews. They thought, hey, our leader has just been crucified. We're probably next. And so they were afraid, scared to death. But when Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't even want to believe that. They couldn't believe that. And when they finally saw Him and when they finally did believe, it changed everything. And you read in the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples, their life was totally transformed. And now all of a sudden, Peter, the guy that was denying he even knew Jesus, he is standing up, he's giving a sermon. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were saved that day. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John heal a man who's at the temple gate, at the gate called Beautiful. They heal him. He's crippled. They say, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. And there's a great healing, a great miracle that takes place. And that set the stage for Peter to preach his second sermon. And after he preached that sermon about Jesus being the Messiah, about Jesus rising from the dead, 5,000 were saved. Well, the Jewish leaders, the high muckety mucks, the Sanhedrin, they are hearing about all this stuff. They arrest Peter and they arrest John and they say, we're not going to have any more of this. They say, what are you doing here? And they said, hey, if it's because of the healing of a man who was crippled, let it be known to you that it's in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. It's in his name that this man has been made well, and there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And the Bible talks about the boldness and the confidence of Peter and of John. And the Pharisees and the priests, they were just shocked. They couldn't believe it. They recognized those guys as having been with Jesus. And then they told them, don't speak anymore in his name. They couldn't deny that a miracle took place, so they just told them, don't speak anymore in his name. And they said, listen, if it's right in the sight of God to obey you or obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and what we have heard. And then they sent them on their way. Well, it's amazing to me to think of the transformation that took place in the lives of those 11 guys. You know, it's said in the book of Acts, the enemies said in the book of Acts concerning the disciples, these men have upset the world. They've turned the world upside down. They've rocked the world for this person named Jesus, who was of Nazareth, who is called the Christ. Now, if you think about that, pretty amazing, from a group of guys who were scared to death, who were behind locked doors, who thought they might be killed. Now, all of a sudden, they're out, they're speaking boldly, and they're shaking the world for Christ. They didn't have a building. They didn't really have any money to speak of. They didn't really have any formal education. Paul was the only one who had formal education. None of those other guys did. It's amazing what they did. Now, you think about that. That all came on the heels of the Lord's first coming. 11 guys, and then more and more and more as they won people to the Lord. They shook the world for Christ. I believe as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ, that the Lord wants to use his people to shake this world for Christ. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, after a prayer meeting, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. How can you and I see God shake the world? How can we be involved in rocking the world for Jesus Christ? That's what I want us to look at, and that's what I want us to study in this series. There are three key ingredients. What does it take to rock the world? Three key ingredients. Ingredient number one, it takes prayer. It takes prayer. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. Place wasn't shaken until after they had prayed. It takes prayer to rock the world and make a difference and see God shake a place. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask. God says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to give up. So we're supposed to pray. We're called to pray. Prayer is what God uses and God waits for before he rocks the world, before he shakes the place. Now, prayer, when you think about it, it's the simplest thing to do. Very, very simple to pray. You don't have to have a master's degree from a seminary in order to pray. Little kids can pray. And little kids do pray. And we encourage our kids and teach our kids in our church, kids in my home, as my girls were growing up from the time they were very, very little, we would teach them and encourage them to pray. Because you don't have to know a lot. You don't have to be William Shakespeare to pray. You know, sometimes we get that idea because the King James Bible was written in William Shakespeare English and the King's English. And so, you know, it's got a lot of these and thous and spake and all sorts of weird words that we don't use. And people think, man, if you're going to pray, you got to pray like that. And I can't pray like that. And I was never good in English literature and didn't really like William Shakespeare. And you don't have to be like that to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. It's just talking to Him from your heart. Some of the people that pray the best are people who haven't been Christians very long because they haven't learned all the trappings of, well, I got to say this and do this, and this is how this person prayed, and this is how... They just talk to God from their heart. See, how much effort, how much schooling do you need to talk to your best friend? None. You just do it. You just talk to them. You got a problem? And I'm going to call my best friend. I'm going to sit down with my best friend. We're just going to talk. And I don't think through every single thing I'm going to say. I don't write out my conversation and read it to my friend. Well, who would do that? You ever notice sometimes you see somebody praying for a special event? What do? They get to the podium and they pull out their notes. Okay, would you bow with me? And they read it. I always think that's crazy. Why would you do that? Do you want your kids, when they sit down with you, to read something to you? Hello, Dad. How are you today? I am fine, Dad. No, we don't want that. We're like, I'd be like, hey, put down the paper. Let's just talk. God's like that. And see, prayer is a simple thing to do, the simplest thing to do, just talking to your Father from your heart. But now, while it's the simplest thing to do, it's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do. Say, isn't that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Prayer is simple, but it's not easy. How many in here have ever gone to pray? Maybe you go to your knees or you just bow your head and you're praying, and within seconds, your mind begins to wander. Anybody ever had that experience? Isn't it amazing? How many times have you gone to pray and you pray for just seems like a very, very short time, less than a minute, and you can't think of anything else to say? Has anybody ever had that? I don't know what to say to God. You know, it's especially hard when you're praying in a group with folks and you're the last one and down the line, because you're trying to think of, well, maybe I can pray about this. And then the guy before you prays about that, you're like, I don't have anything now. Has that ever happened to you? Sure. Yeah, we get like that. We don't know what to say, or I'm out of bullets. You know, I've asked for this, I asked for that. And we do the Miss America prayer. Well, we pray for world peace and puppies. And, you know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. A lot of times we pray and then we lose heart in our prayers because God doesn't answer as quickly as we want. See, that's why Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to quit. And then he tells the story about the widow who kept coming to the judge day after day after day with her persistence. A lot of us pray about things and we don't see God answer as quickly as we want. And so we quit. We throw in the towel. We say, this doesn't work. I mean, God says, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know, but he's not answering me. And so we have trouble with prayer. We struggle with prayer. It's hard to do. And the reason that prayer is so hard is because it's so powerful. So powerful. And the devil knows how powerful prayer is. And the devil knows that if he can get you to keep you from praying, if he can keep you from praying, he can keep your life from experiencing all the power. He can keep you from rocking the world. It was Archimedes, the Greek physicist, mathematician, engineer, had a big brain. I mean, he was really smart. Archimedes lived in the 200s BC. Archimedes said this. He said, give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum, which is a pivot to put that lever on which to rest it upon, and I will be able to move the world. He knew from physics, he knew from engineering, that if you could have a lever long enough and something to rest that lever upon, and you could put it out in a far away distance from the earth, that he could move that lever and it would move the earth. It's just a matter of physics. Well, prayer is the lever. And the fulcrum, what to rest it upon, is God. And God is looking for some people who will pull on the lever, and God will use that to shake the world and to rock the world. And the devil knows that. And so the devil fights us to keep us off our knees. Hey, when they prayed, then the place was shaken. So it takes prayer. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is it takes unified prayer. Unified prayer. You know, when they released Peter and John, it says in verse 23, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, they started their prayer. They lifted their voices with one accord. They prayed together. The very first thing when they were released is they got together with the other believers. They assembled themselves together. Unified prayer, assembled prayer. It's important. You know, we are a lot more effective when we call upon the Lord together than when we call upon the Lord separately. You know, there's strength in numbers, and there's strength in the fact that more and more and more people are calling on the Lord together. The Bible says about assembling ourselves together, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What happens when we assemble together in a service like this, in a service on Sunday morning? What do? Well, we worship, we sing praises, we study God's Word together, and we pray together. And that is so very important. You know, don't forsake, the Bible says, you're assembling together. Have you ever talked to people that say, well, you know, I've given up on church. I don't need church. I just have church on my own. I go out to the deer stand and talk to God. I go play golf, and in the middle of my round, I'm talking to God. I don't need church. Well, the Bible says, hey, don't do that. You do. You need to assemble together. Don't forsake that, because that's important. There's power in coming together. They were assembled together.
Don't you fall into the notion of being one of those Lone Ranger Christians, someone who thinks they can live the Christian life all on their own without other believers. You can't do that. We need fellow believers for a lot of reasons. Pastor Jeff will return in just a moment on From His Heart to talk about how these early believers were so important to one another. Stay with us. Before you and I can stand for God, we have to stand by God, and the only way to stand by Him is to spend quality time with Him in prayer and in His Word. We want to help you better connect with the heart of God through prayer by sending you Pastor Jeff's booklet, Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer. You'll learn 7 important insights from the life of Nehemiah to encourage you in your prayer life. It's available for your gift of any amount from His Heart this month. And when you make that gift, we'll also send you the 8-message series, Holy Boldness, Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire. We believe these 2 resources will help you to soak up the power and presence of God so you can boldly stand for Him and with Him. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and know that your financial support allows us to sustain and expand this outreach around the world on radio, television, and online. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, receiving no income from it. So thank you for joining with us to speak the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Now let's get back to the first message in Pastor Jeff's series, Rock Your World, Unleashing the Power of Prayer. And this message is called, not surprisingly, Rock Your World.
There's power in coming together. They were assembled together, and they were stirred up together. I thought this was really, really interesting as I studied this. It says in verse 24, and when they heard this, about what happened to Peter and John, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. Now, the word accord, it's translated one accord, it's one word in the Greek, homothumadon. It's two Greek words put together. The word homo means together. The word thumadon literally means passion. They had passion together. And that also, that word is translated rage, wrath, indignation, fierce, outburst of anger. So together, they had this passion. They had this stirring in their heart, this thing that God calls in other places rage and indignation. They had that because the chief priests had told Peter and John, speak no more in this name. We command you to speak no more in this name. And see, they had to say, we can't obey you. They had to rebel against that command. They had to rebel against that authority because they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking what we've seen and heard. Jesus had told them, you shall be my witnesses and you shall tell others about me and about my resurrection and the fact that I'm the Lord, that I'm the Christ who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. They were commanded by God. So no matter who told them, if Caesar told them to stop, they wouldn't stop. Caiaphas tells them to stop. They're not going to stop. And they were put in a tough spot because you can imagine the pressure on them. Here's Peter, here's John, and the Sanhedrin were the 70. The 70 guys that they are appearing before. It's not a friendly crowd. They don't want to hear. They didn't like it when they said, this Jesus whom you crucified. See, Stephen did the same thing in Acts chapter 7, and they just flipped out on him. They stopped up their ears and they rushed upon him. They stoned him to death. They couldn't stand to hear that. You know, I mean, it's not a really good thing when you're supposed to be a religious leader and the charge against you is you killed God. That's not really good. Nobody likes to hear that. I didn't kill God. I don't want to have on my record that I killed the Messiah. That's really bad. And so, but that's what they told him. You crucified him. God raised him from the dead. And so that when they told the rest of the Christians, the disciples, the group, they were stirred up. There was passion there and they prayed with passion and they had together passion. And I find it interesting that God first stirred them up before he shook the house. See, there has to be a shaking in my heart, in your heart, in our hearts together over the things that God is concerned about before we see God really start to work and to shake and to rock the world for Christ. And that's the big question. Do the things that God cares about, are those the things that you care about?
Well, the lesson is not over. Make plans to be with us tomorrow for the conclusion of the message, Rock Your World, as Pastor Jeff continues telling us how God can rock your world through the power of prayer. This message today is from Pastor Jeff's series, Rock Your World, Unleashing the Power of Prayer. You can find out more about that when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Remember, too, that for your gift of any amount this month to From His Heart, we'd like to say thanks by sending you the booklet Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer and Pastor Jeff's 8-message series, Holy Boldness. You can go online for details at fromhisheart.org. Well, that's all our time for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be back tomorrow for the next part of this message, Rock Your World, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.